You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Novelist Colson Whitehead has famously tackled topics like a young man's coming of age, that was in Sag Harbor, and the social elevation of African Americans in The Intuitionist, also America's industrial age, that was in the book John Henry Days. But for his new novel, the award-winning Whitehead goes just a little bit the other direction, maybe a little further than just a little bit, with a look at how an imaginary apocalypse might bring out perhaps the best and the worst in human beings. The title of the new book, which hit stores this week, is Zone One. And from that title, you may not realize that this is a zombie book. Colson Whitehead joins us in the studio. First and foremost, Colson, we have to point out this isn't just a dystopian novel. It's a dystopian novel featuring zombies. And not just one particular kind of zombie, but there's two. First, there's the Skells. They're very aggressive and very dangerous, right?
Skells are, you know, what you think of when you hear the word zombie, whether it's from movies or Whole Foods. Yes, that kind.
Right. And then there's these stragglers who seem to be caught in a fugue.
The stragglers are kind of like ghosts. For me, the survivors are trapped in their old mode of living before the disaster. And the stragglers are zombies who are malfunctioning, and they stand like statues. They, by homing instinct, go to the places that were important in their lives. If you were a shrink, you might go to your office and wait for a patient that will never come. If you worked at WNYC, you might come in and put your headphones on and wait for the signal to come on, which will never
spare
happen.
Me from that fate.
close to reality, not necessarily a science fiction notion.
Yes, exactly. And they're kind of like ghosts, haunted by their past and statues to who they used to be, in the same way that their survivors sort of are.
So it's a zombie book.
There are zombies in it, yeah.
But it's not a zombie book?
Well, you know, Moby Dick's a whale book. My first book, The Intuitionist, is an elevator inspector book.
That's a big genre there.
Yeah.
It's about overcoming calamity in all its different forms, so big and small and more personal disasters.
And obviously you began writing this long before the Occupy Wall Street movement began, and yet it oddly fits. This idea of one group fiercely involved in this battle to stake out their territory in New York City and put up barriers and say, this is our place and we're not moving. And I wanted to read something to you that seems to me to fit in. It says, the city had long carried its own plague. Its infection had converted this creature into a member of its bygone loser cadre, into another one of the broke and the deluded, the misfitting, the inveterate unlucky. And what you're describing there is this banker in a suit who's become a zombie, kind of tottering out. And you see him sort of as a symbol of what had been wrong with the city from the beginning.
Sure. Well, I think, growing up here, especially in the 70s, there's an idea that New York is always in a post-apocalyptic state. It's crumbling. You're surrounded by ruins. And when I picked Zone One, which is everything below Canal, where we actually are now, Wall Street seemed to fit because after 9 p.m., it is this empty landscape. There's no one around. No one lives there. The buildings are empty, and you can, at different moments in the day and night, be in this empty, desolate city. And so, walking around Zone One just today, I feel that calamity is here. It's undergoing and impending all at the same time.
You know, I'm less struck though in this book, which I have to say I have huge admiration, because this is a big territory you've taken on here, even though there's a slightly narrow sort of sci-fi sort of zombie narrative. This is a book about memory and about sort of going from that transition of the world you expect to be and the world that actually turns out to be. And that's a calamity for everyone. These people live in their memories of what they expected, the talents that they have that are useless in this new world. This is all about realizing that this is how it is, pal, and you got to survive the rest of your life.
And they're still trying to carry all that freight from the old world into this new place, and they can't recognize that everything has changed and they have to come to a new accommodation.
Do you have zombies in you, of stuff you thought you were going to be good at and aren't, or were going to do and didn't?
No, I mean, I'm stuck with writing. I mean, it was horror and, you know, science fiction, watching bad movies on cable, reading Stephen King, H.P. Lovecraft as a kid that made me want to have a job where I just make up stuff all day. So I'm stuck with that.
Night of the Living Dead meets Moby Dick.
Sure.
There you go.
Kind
Beautiful,
of.
Babe.
Although you have to add into this incredibly fascinating nameless bureaucracy, the people who are holed up in Buffalo, New York, kind of running all of the survivors as this sort of completely secretive government. And some of the things they come up with seem inane. This idea that they have to find the producers of goods and get their permission for people to use them now, even though the entire country has gone to hell.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like in the apocalypse, when you're, you know, trying to get things back to normal, everything that's terrible will come back very quickly. So bureaucracy, marketing, corporate sponsorships, people want their arugula back.
Abba will come back.
Abba will come back pretty quickly, vanilla. Yes.
Something bad must have happened to you in Buffalo, pal.
I've never been to Buffalo. It was totally random.
After this book, don't go.
And interestingly enough, one of the new forms of currency in Colson Whitehead's apocalypse is a juice box.
Sure. I mean, you trade them for luxury goods. I think they're not going to go bad, and you can carry them around. So why not juice boxes?
Eminently portable. The beauty of the juice box. Well, it's a great book. It's called Zone One. Colson Whitehead, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.